Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Firefighters continue to work a blaze that broke out early this morning at a shuttered hotel in West Fairbanks. Photos and videos posted earlier showed flames and thick smoke coming from the two-story College Inn building located near the corner of Geist Road and Fairbanks Street. Multiple fire trucks are on scene, and more recent posts indicate the fire has been subdued. According to web posts, the College Inn has been closed for some time. The Federal Bureau of Land Management holds the first in a series of six statewide meetings tonight in Fairbanks to gather public testimony on ConocoPhillips' proposed Willow Oil and Gas Project in the National Petroleum Reserve, Alaska, or NPRA. The BLM is in the process of developing a draft environmental impact statement for the project, which will analyze potential environmental impacts and measures to reduce anticipated adverse effects on wildlife, including threatened and endangered species. The document will also consider impacts on subsistence hunting and access to social and cultural resources. The meeting from 6 to 8 tonight at the downtown Fairbanks Westmark Hotel will be followed by others in Anchorage, Anaktuvik Pass, Ukiavik, Atkasuk, and Nuiqsut. The BLM announced Friday that the public comment deadline for the Willow Draft EIS has been extended 2 weeks to October 29th. More than 2,000 Stryker Brigade soldiers from Fort Wainwright are in the process of deploying to Iraq. As the Army moves personnel for the 9-month deployment, it's also tasked with transporting tons of gear and equipment overseas. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
The deployment officially began a little over 2 weeks ago with a send-off ceremony on Fort Wainwright that included the 9th Army Band and speeches by senior leaders with the 1st Stryker Brigade Combat Team and U.S. Army Alaska.
Departure for deployment.
By the end of this month, more than half of the Strykers assigned to Wainwright will be in Iraq.
The deployments are ongoing right now, so we're well over halfway pushing soldiers out.
Lieutenant Colonel Drew Lynch is the brigade's Task Force Reserve Commander. He's helping coordinate the movement of the 7 Stryker battalions, which include cavalry, infantry, field artillery, and engineer units. He says the soldiers fly out of Fairbanks on Army-contracted commercial airliners, but most of their gear is transported by multiple surface transportation modes, initially via the Alaska Railroad to the port of Anchorage.
Most of that goes by rail down to the port and then out by boat. So at any point in time, that equipment would be on either a train, a boat, or even trucks. And there's a small element of equipment that is also flown directly from here into theater.
Lynch says this deployment will not, however, include their iconic 8-wheeled Stryker vehicles, which can often be seen moving between training ranges around the interior.
Because of the nature of the mission, which is a train, advise, assist with our partner nations and our partner forces, the Stryker platforms aren't needed for that mission.
Lynch says the Stryker soldiers are part of a joint task force that will mainly be helping train Iraqi troops, law enforcement officers, and others who maintain security in the war-torn nation.
What you see is our leaders and our soldiers over there working side by side to enable those forces to execute and establish security and then to grow that capacity over time.
But Lynch says that doesn't mean this deployment won't be dangerous. He says U.S. military personnel face risk operating in many places around Iraq and elsewhere in the region, which falls under the purview of the U.S. Central Command, or CENTCOM.
Any deployment, especially to a CENTCOM region, has inherent dangers and inherent risk. But we found through time that unless we do this by, with, and through our partner nations, then there's always risk that they don't grow the capacity and then we end up going back in the future.
This is the Stryker Brigade's third deployment to Iraq, this time in support of what the Pentagon calls Operation Inherent Resolve. It follows earlier missions there in 2005 and 2008. The Strykers also deployed to Afghanistan in 2011. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
A national Muslim civil liberties group has resolved a federal lawsuit against the state of Alaska. Coast Alaska reports that Carolyn Homer, a trial attorney with the Council on American-Islamic Relations, which sued the state last year, says Muslim inmates were provided insufficient meals during the month-long Ramadan holiday when they fast during daylight hours.
The Department of Corrections needs to provide them with meals after the sun goes down and before dawn.
The suit alleges two inmates had to skip meals and said they lost weight and that guards punished them and confiscated any food they smuggled out of the dining hall to eat after sundown. This year, the Department of Corrections amended its policies to provide Muslim inmates at least 3,000 calories a day. They will also be allowed to gather and pray five times daily and participate in Friday prayers. Homer says many of the policy changes were already in effect this spring during Ramadan.
They are now ensuring that all Muslim inmates in all facilities in Alaska receive two hot meals per day during the nighttime hours.
In a statement, a corrections official says the department is committed to providing religious and cultural opportunities for offenders within available resources while maintaining security and safety. The state does not track the inmate population by religion, but it says 45 prisoners fasted for Ramadan this year. That's about 1% of Alaska's prison population. The state agreed to pay $100,000 for attorney fees and other costs. A nationally respected climate expert who bridges science and faith is speaking this week in Fairbanks. Catherine Hayhoe directs Texas Tech's Climate Science Center and is the lead author of National Climate Assessments. University of Alaska Fairbanks scientist Terry Chapin, who's helping with Hayhoe's visit, says she understands the human implications of climate change.
Most of the debates about climate science are not about the facts. They're about how is this going to affect the economy, or how is this going to affect my grandchildren? Those are issues of the heart, and that's what she communicates so effectively.
Hayhoe says that stems from her evangelical faith, which she contends does not conflict with science, but rather guides her response to it.
What is most important to us, and for many of us, it is our faith, and our values come from our faith. And we believe, as Christians, for example, we believe that we are responsible for every living thing on this planet and that we are to love and care for our brothers and sisters, especially those less fortunate than us.
Hayhoe's ability to communicate faith and science attracted the Fairbanks Climate Action Coalition, which invited her north. Charlie Basham serves on the organization's Interfaith Working Group.
So there are people that are inspired by the science, and that totally gets them into action. And there are others that are drawn in by the fact that we do have a moral responsibility, that there's a moral imperative here.
Basham says Hayhoe will offer two public events in Fairbanks. Tonight at 7, she speaks at UAF, and tomorrow night at Friends Church in Fairbanks. Hayhoe maintains climate change isn't a death knell to business, despite what certain political leaders might say.
There's a Chinese wind energy company that's going into Wyoming and training out-of-work coal miners in Wyoming to do wind energy installations. There are tremendous opportunities in this area because we need energy, and we're only going to need more energy in the future. But unless we embrace these opportunities and move forward with them rather than dragging our heels at the back, we are going to be left behind because other countries are moving forward too.
Hayhoe takes comfort in studies that show only 9% of people surveyed deny climate change. Following her talks in Fairbanks, Hayhoe travels to Anchorage and Juneau. I'm Dan Bross.